Blair, what are some of the key issues at trial here?
Well, Prococo is the first of seven trials that will happen, high-profile corruption cases that will go to trial over the next few months through the summer. A second trial, just FYI, is former State Senate Senator Maziores pled guilty to misuse of campaign funds, and he avoided jail time, but he has to pay a fine. So that was trial two. Trial one has gone to the jury, and it's the case of a former top aide to the governor, Joseph Prococo, who is alleged by the U.S. attorneys to have accepted bribes in the neighborhood of $300,000. As part of the deal, he would accept these bribes, and he would use his influence to get state entities to do what these what individual organizations wanted. So these businesses that had business before the government, a company in Syracuse and a company in the Mid-Hudson Valley, allegedly, according to the U.S. prosecutors, used bribes to get the former top aide to the governor to intervene on their behalf in regulatory matters. And that's really at the heart of the trial.
Now, we're talking about this as there's still the jury is out, so before we know what the verdict is. But regardless of the verdict, what is sort of the, you know, broader message that both the public and I think those at the Capitol need to take away from this trial?
Well, in a sense, you're right. I mean, the jury is now considering whether or not Prococo violated federal bribery statutes. And so the verdict is out on him. We don't know yet. But the verdict is in on Albany, which is that the state's system of monitoring the way it doles out government contracts and economic development is very flawed, significantly flawed. And it has allowed a situation to exist where you're raising the risk of corruption. So, for example, in addition to the alleged bribes that occurred, some of the other things that came up as evidence and testimony in the trial deals with things like how a lobbyist was able to quarterback campaign contributions from a developer in Syracuse to the tune of $125,000 and use limited liability companies, a network of limited liability companies, to get the money into the governor's reelection effort as a way to circumvent the public knowing who it's from. Another issue that came up in the trial was the fact that the one lobbyist was able to communicate with many high-ranking members of the administration through their personal email accounts, and that in those emails they were discussing how to do the public's business, and that's a no-no as well. So there are other issues that came out of the trial. Another was that the Prococo, when he left government to work as the campaign manager, thus he's a private citizen, was able to keep his security card, which is unheard of, to have easy access into the governor's office. It is alleged by the U.S. attorneys that he used his government office to run the campaign and to make communications from his old office in terms of phone calls, et cetera. People saw him going in and out, and yet nobody did anything about it. How did that happen? So there are a number of issues that come out that are not necessarily relevant to whether or not federal bribes were bribes that violate federal law were involved, but do trigger questions about state policy. So it's pretty clear that there are pay-to-play measures that have to be taken. It's pretty clear that there needs to be better oversight of the contracting process by an independent entity. It's pretty clear that the state's ethics laws need to be overhauled and that the state needs a new watchdog that's independent of political pressure.
Now, over the last several decades, several dozen state legislators have, in fact, been convicted of various forms of corruption and bribes and other misbehavior. The governor himself seemed to have initially came in on a pledge to reform Albany. And yet, if anything, the situation seems to be getting worse. The governor's amassed a $30 million or so war chest, taking huge donations from particularly real estate and other people seeking favors. Is this trial and the next six or seven trials going to be enough to finally shake, you know, Albany and demand real reform?
Well, I work for NYPERG, right? So I'm a hopeless optimist. I have to admit, I would have thought that the indictment and convictions of the former Speaker of the Assembly and the former Senate Majority Leader would have tipped the balance. The trial with Prococo may not be enough. We don't know. But it'll be a steady drumbeat of trials from now until the summer. And another major trial to play out still is going to be the trial around the Buffalo Billion, the so-called Buffalo Billion, where the U.S. Attorney's Office, again, alleges a pay-to-play scheme that hot-wired contracts to benefit big contributors to the governor. So we'll see. These cases still have to play out. You never know. Everyone's innocent until proven guilty. But the issue is not going to go away. And so whether or not the governor chooses to use this opportunity that's been handed to him to advance meaningful reforms, I think we will see. But we're certainly hopeful that that's what will happen.
Now, you know, we also face this situation. The governor's up for reelection. He may face a primary. But at this point, you know, the Republican, John DeFrancisco, one of the top Republicans, is running. You know, what are the chances that the various parties will actually say this is the time to finally do something? Does the election year make it more likely that something's going to happen, or let's get out of Albany and not create too much damage?
Well, it depends on how cynical the electeds view this sort of situation. I mean, at a certain level, you would think, when they're all up for reelection and the public is unhappy with what they see at the state capitol, and every poll tells you that that's the case, that they would feel compelled to do something about it. I mean, that's their job, right? To get elected to come to Albany to fix problems. Ethics and corruption is a big problem. But they may just choose to think that the voters, while unhappy about what they see in Albany, won't vote based on that unhappiness and decide to just ride out the storm, that, in fact, it's worse to try to create the kinds of things that we want that will make a more open, transparent, accountable system that reduces the risk of corruption, and they'll just choose to leave it that way. So again, I'm hopeful that it being a re-election year, a re-election for the governor, this is clearly a promise that he made, you're right, two terms ago, now two elections ago, that he was going to come to Albany and clean it up. And I think it's fair to say that that is a promise yet to be fulfilled. And this is the session for him to do it.
Now, you mentioned the term, you know, pay to play, which usually refers to the fact that, you know, individuals who are getting contracts and other positions of influence with the government in exchange make campaign contributions to legislators or governors that help them, you know, secure those positions. Is there a risk that if, in fact, the jury decides, well, this may be unethical, but it's not illegal under the existing language of various federal and state statutes, that in fact it becomes even more of an open season on this pay-to-play games that take place at the Capitol?
Well, sure, there's a possibility that people will decide that because the federal statute is useless, therefore the U.S. prosecutors won't come to Albany to try to do anything, that they'll just think that they can get away with what they think they can get away with. And certainly the state system, the state laws, the state oversight is weak, fatally flawed. And if that's never going to get fixed, then maybe people feel like they can do that. Now, that being said, I don't think that Prococo in particular would want this wished on anyone. If he's ultimately exonerated by the jury, he will have spent a lot of time having his image, his reputation besmirched. The governor will have had to have endured it. There will be a lot of legal fees that still have to be paid. By the way, we're not quite clear who's paying for the legal coverage now for Prococo. But all that being said, if there's no conviction, that means he's not in it. He's not guilty. And he shouldn't deserve to go to prison for things that he didn't commit. But the system is still flawed. There's no getting around that, and that does have to be fixed. And that's what the governor and the legislature are here to do. And if they don't do it, big problem.
Okay, in the last 30 seconds, can you list what are the two or three biggest fixes needed?
Well, I mean, if you want to deal with campaign finance, you've got to deal with the limited liability company loophole, which allows one company, through its many limited liability companies, to funnel in as much money as they want into the system. It's a huge gaping hole in the campaign finance system. Limiting campaign contributions from those seeking government contracts, a voluntary system of public financing, a real independent ethics oversight agency, and empowering the comptroller to aggressively monitor state contracts. Under the current governor, the power of the comptroller has been cut back. He's an independently elected official, and his job should be to monitor these contracts. Those things would be some ways to get started.
Thank you, Blair Horner, New York Public Interest Research Group Executive Director.
That was WOOC correspondent Mark Dunley discussing the impact of the trial
of the governor's former top aide on corruption charges.